Welcome to 10 on Tech. This show is a production of Actual Tech Media. We develop content for IT professionals across the globe. Keep an eye out for our megacast events, webinars, books, and more. Each episode, we spend 10 minutes with an interesting IT influencer, bringing you up to speed in a short amount of time.
Hello and welcome to the 10 on Tech podcast. My name is David Davis, partner at Actual Tech Media, and I'm excited to have Mr. Mike Foley from VMware on the podcast today. It's quite an honor. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, so my name is Mike Foley. I've been in the industry since 1980 when I started at Digital, driving a car, delivering software performance reports, and I found my way to where I am today.
Awesome, awesome. So tell me what you do at VMware today.
I'm a senior technical marketing architect in the vSphere Tech Marketing Group, and I've been there for about four and a half years, and my focus is purely on vSphere security.
Awesome, awesome. Yeah, Mike, just a little bit of background. I've known Mike for quite some time, and he is just an amazing expert, all things virtualization security, and enterprise tech security, for that matter, really. So again, honored to have you on the show today, Mike. First question I want to ask you is, what led you to VMware? Can you kind of tell us the backstory? How did you get there, and why is it important to you today?
So the first time I heard of VMware, I was actually working at a company called Alpha Processor Incorporated. They were a spinoff off of DEC/Compaq and Samsung. And I was at a supercomputing thing in outside of Santa Fe, New Mexico. It was absolutely gorgeous out there. And one of the guys sitting behind me worked on the original Beowulf clusters, if anyone remembers those from the high-performance technical computing days. And he had a laptop running VMware Workstation 1.0, and he was running a Beowulf cluster on it. And it was really, really cool. And that was kind of my first introduction to it. Then the second time was when I was, after I'd gotten laid off from there, I went to contracting and I was doing some IT work at a small biotech. And we ended up using VMware to run a couple of servers very simply. And then I got to RSA, and when I got to RSA, I was given a whole bunch of laptops, all of them with multiple products all installed on them, looking absolutely nothing like what customers did. And I decided to use VMware to make individual VMs for each component rather than trying to install everything unsupported on one. And that kind of morphed into my first experience with ESX, and I jumped right on the ESXi bandwagon. At that time, it was ESX 3i, which was the first iteration of ESXi. And I had two Dell boxes that when I ran GSX, I could get maybe two VMs running, but when I ran ESX, I could get 4 to 6 VMs running all in the same thing, mainly because of the memory utilization overhead was so much less and so forth. And I still remember the first time I did a vMotion.
Awesome. It was magic. vMotion, it's still magic.
Really. I ran to my friend's cube. I said, Armin, you have to come see this. You have to come see this right now. And we went back and I said, see this virtual machine? Watch. And I went, click. And he goes, did that just move to the other VM, to the other machine? I'm like, yeah. And it's still up and running? Yeah. Yeah, it was a very, very cool moment.
Awesome, awesome. And I still remember ESX 3i. I think they gave it away on a USB key at VMworld.
Yep.
So second question I want to ask you is, you know, you work a lot with a lot of different companies today. Can you kind of tell me your state of enterprise security as of early 2017, what do you see out there?
It's changing. It's still not where I want to see it. I think you know, the typical scenario I see is that the security person walks into the IT group and says, this needs to be done this way, drops down some sort of guide, usually my hardening guide, and then walks out the door and really doesn't have any idea as to, you know, the impact that those decisions are. And that's slowly starting to change. Security people are just starting to grasp virtualization, and which is in some cases making them even more panicked. And but the probably the biggest change is that security actually got on the got in front of the discussions as opposed to behind. Typically, a conversation would be, let's get our storage, let's get our networking, let's get our virtualization, and, oh, okay, security guy, you have 5 minutes to do your one-hour presentation, and or we'll just go without you. That's changed. Security is now, because it's, I mean, it's on CNN, for God's sakes, it's front and center for everyone. And it's, that whole discussion is, it's easier to get the time to have that conversation, but the players still haven't matured enough to understand the ins and outs of it.
That's very insightful. And let me follow up with this in that, and I'll ask kind of the dumb CEO question.
Sure.
Why is virtualization security so hard at most companies? Like, isn't it just secure out of the box? I mean, maybe a CEO says, well, why are we buying VMware if it's not secure, right? Why do we, isn't that included?
Yeah, so if you go to my blog, YELOF, which is fully spelled backwards, .com, you'll see a recent blog article on the new vSphere 6.5 security configuration guide. And that whole is it secure out of the box question is changing rapidly. At VMware, about a number of years ago, we really started looking at how can we make this much more secure, you know, quote unquote, out of the box. And we're making great strides towards that. And if you look at the security configuration guide, that's what used to be called the hardening guide. And hardening was this this thought process around, well, here's the software, and then here are all the steps to make it secure. So you have to tighten the screws. What we're moving towards very, very rapidly is here's the software, and if you want to loosen something, here's how to do it. So that whole out-of-the-box thing really is coming true, and you'll see even more changes coming down the pike. We've gone down to, you know, 35% of the security configuration guide is what are called hardening settings. 65% are settings that VMware can't set for you, you know, what's your NTP server, connecting up to Active Directory, so on and so forth, or they are settings that are already secured and are considered audit settings, meaning has someone enabled SSH that was already disabled by default, right? So the and the remaining 35% that are hardening, out of those, six of them are things like apply patches, turn off TLS 1.0, set the default setting on standard virtual switches from accept to reject for three different settings, and then 18 settings for virtual machine stuff. And I'm hoping to knock those that 35% at some point down to about 9%.
Got it. So what I'm kind of getting from you is, I mean, on one hand, VMware is making the product more secure, but it's also a very complex product. I mean, there's a lot of knobs and there's a lot of things to tune, a lot of customizations, because it's implemented in different ways. Every environment is different, how it's implemented. And then at the same time, the customers are kind of starting to wake up and realize that, hey, you know, one is security is important, and it's also a complex topic. We need to learn more.
Yeah, and it's really on us to make it easier. But the thing I tell folks all the time is that there really is not an easy button for security. Everyone thinks that they can just buy a product, install that product, hit the button, and okay, we're secure. That's not reality. That's not how things really work. Security isn't a destination, it's a journey. And you're always going to be on that journey. And the threat landscape changes daily. And what was a threat yesterday is no longer a threat today. But now there's a new threat, three new threats that have come up that you need to worry about. You know, for example, that whole WannaCry thing and the SMB cry, or Samba cry that they're calling it, which is the Linux version. The Linux one is exploiting something that has been out there for 7 years. Right? Wow. I mean, what really has to, what people really need to embrace is that there is not one product. It's that you really need a defense in depth story. You not only have to mitigate the known threats, but you have to be able to mitigate the unknown threats. And so things like isolating management from running VMs, your management network from VM networks and from storage networks and so forth, is key to ensuring that, you know, one network doesn't go off and go pollute the other network. Right, the last thing you really want is a VM getting infected and that then goes sideways or east to west and starts infecting other VMs. And because you didn't isolate your management network from the VM network, it now starts attacking your management infrastructure.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, so many of the security recommendations that have been around forever, you know, they still apply. People just aren't doing them, like the security
they're
and layers.
Still not doing them.
your principle of least privilege, role-based security, segmenting your network, management, cluster versus a production cluster, all these different things, you know, that, like you said, just aren't being implemented completely.
Yeah, and they're even more important in a virtualized environment because things are happening at scale, meaning we're not just talking like 10 or 20 systems getting taken out. We're talking it could be 20,000 systems taken out if you don't have things architected correctly.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a great point. It's not just a single host
you're
losing access to or whatever it might be. Yeah, it could be tens of thousands. So moving on to the next question,
sure.
You know, you've created a lot of different security resources. VMware has a lot of security resources. Can you kind of give me a use case about how vSphere Security or something you've implemented has been used in a real company out there?
Probably the biggest impact is the hardening guide, because that is the basis upon which a whole bunch of other content comes from. So, for example, what was the hardening guide is now the security configuration guide. That is the document by which organizations like PCI and HIPAA and everything else, those folks take that and then build their rules and regulations on top of that. Right. So that probably has the biggest industry-wide impact for what I do. As far as a real company, the thing with security is everyone says that it has to be security standards, but everyone does the security differently. And so there's no one thing I can point to. What I can say is that like clockwork, every 3 to 6 months, there seems to be this flurry of VM escape type questions. And, I got to the point where I just registered vmescape.com and put a one pager out there to deal with them. It's just that I've gotten a lot of feedback of IT people pointing customers at that. Probably one of the biggest things also is a security white paper I did a few years ago on hypervisor security that that's an almost weekly question of how can I explain to my security people how isolation works in a hypervisor.
Yeah, yeah. So VM Escape, for those who don't know, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the operating system in a VM being able to gain the privileges of the hypervisor?
Yeah, so, for example, malware getting onto a virtual machine, rooting that virtual machine, installing software drivers on that virtual machine, and then making attacks against the hypervisor at the driver level.
So it's essentially going backwards through VMware tools, almost back into the hypervisor, and maybe even getting access to other VMs.
Yeah, and with the theory that it's relatively simple to do, which it's not, that you could get a shell that would allow you to run scripts to go do other things to other virtual machines, which you can't. It's a very, very, very difficult nation state level issue. And in 6.5, we've added some additional controls. Like I said, there's no simple, easy button, click and you're done. It's yet another layer of defense in depth, and that's called VM sandboxing. And that's where the process that runs the virtual machine is running in a sandboxed environment with a clearly defined set of things that it's allowed to access and not access.
Cool, cool. So, I mean, I'm sure we could do a whole podcast on VM Escape.
Oh, but and it's been done.
So, but that's one resource that you recommend, it's vmescape.com?
Yep.
Okay. And any other resources on virtualization security you want to point the audience to?
Yeah, just Google hypervisor security white paper or VMware hypervisor security white paper, and you'll find the white paper that I mentioned earlier.
Okay.
And of course, follow the blogs.
And your blog, what was it again?
YELOF.com. Or you can go to blogs.vmware.com/vSphere and search for Foley, and you'll get it there.
Okay. And of course, the VMware security hardening guides are out there. You can find those on Google as well.
Yep.
And we'll include links to all of those in the show notes for this podcast. So let's kind of move here into the lightning round. So the
sure.
next question I want to ask you is, what's the next big thing in technology that our audience should be keeping their eye on, maybe even outside of what we just talked about?
Massive changes coming at the hardware level. Just some really, really interesting things. Now, they'll take a while to be leveraged, but just some really cool things being done by Intel and AMD at the CPU level that are just amazeballs. You know, for example, with VM encryption in 6.5, we leverage the encryption instructions at the CPU level to do that encryption. And everyone's like, well, why can't I just add an encryption card? It'll be so much faster. Because the speed at which Intel and AMD are making AES-NI faster, by the time we got through the whole qualification stage, we'd already be a generation faster in encryption. So one of the big things is that you'll probably see encryption by default almost everywhere in a couple of years. What I tell folks when they start asking me about, well, what about encryption performance and how will that impact me and blah, 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 is hang on a minute. By the time you implement it, the next generation CPU stuff, we probably won't even be having a performance discussion. It'll be more about manageability. That's going to be where the costs are, is on how do you manage all of this.
Yeah, great point. I read a little blurb today about how Apple is working on something they call system on a chip. So it's like an iPhone on a chip.
Yeah.
So, I mean, amazing hardware advancements. I totally believe you are on the way. Next question here is it important to your career, or how do you keep your career going? I mean, security is constantly changing, virtualization's changing. What do you do and what do you recommend to people?
I try to get a lot more involved in the product side, meaning inserting myself into what we should be doing, as opposed to just taking what's been done and figuring a way to market that, right? So that the whole architect title, you can't be an architect if you're not involved in helping to guide the product, right? And where I come from is I'm a real strong advocate for IT people that are under pressure by security people. So I see my customer as the IT guy who's getting pressure from security to go encrypt everything, right? So how do we make that easier? How do we lessen the burden on IT? Because if the IT guy comes and says, well, I can't do that unless I hire new people, and everyone laughs and falls out of their chair and says, no, that's not happening. How else is he going to, or she, how else are they going to be able to accomplish the things they're being asked to do? And really, the way to do that is via automation and making things as easy as possible. So, for example, encrypting a virtual machine shouldn't be done within the virtual machine, because then that means I have to monitor the insides of that virtual machine. It really needs to be done at the infrastructure layer, because then I can just apply policies regardless of the virtual machine's operating system. The last thing IT wants are security snowflakes. So for me, career-wise, having that level of input into, no, I think we should consider doing it this way versus that way. I had a lot of input into the thing that got off the ground for enhanced logging in 6.5. That was based on some pushback I put on a product management number of years ago to make logging much, much better. All of these sorts of things, that's what keeps my career growing, I guess you could say. And that's how I accomplish that, is just being a pain in the neck.
Okay. Great advice. It seems like it's working. More and more security enhancements. So yeah, that's great for the customer. Another question I want to ask you is, what's the last thing you read or you watched that you really enjoyed?
I will probably say the one that stands out the most would be The Martian. In 2015, I actually got the author of The Martian, Andy Weir, who lives in Palo Alto, to come to VMware and do a talk in the cafeteria. And this was long before the movie came out or anything like that. And I got to hang out with him for about 45 minutes and really pick his brain on the book, which at that point I had already read twice. And my wife had read, my oldest boy had read, and my, at the time, 9-year-old had already read. And yes, we did have a conversation about the first page. And if you've read the book, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so that was probably the thing I really enjoyed diving into was The Martian. And then the latest one has been, I'm about to dive into the book 13 Hours, which was the story of the guys who were protecting the folks at the CIA compound in Benghazi back in 2012. I got to meet one of those guys last week, and that was just a real eye-opening experience. So I'm looking forward to reading that book.
Wow. Wow, that's amazing. And now I'm going to have to go read The Martian's book, because I haven't read that. I've just seen this.
You've never read it?
No, I've just seen the movie.
Oh, there is so much more in the book than there is in the movie. They really, really should have made the movie a 2 or possibly even 3-parter. There's just this giant chunk of stuff that's missing from the movie. The movie was excellent. Couple of things at the time, 10-year-old when the movie came out went, wait a minute, that's nothing like what's in the book. There were a few things that I went, huh? But the vast majority of it is extremely well done. But they missed so much that was in the book that really could have rounded out the whole story. So yeah, definitely read the book.
Okay, great advice. Another question I want to ask you is, what's the one thing you've tried or life decision you've made that you would never recommend anyone to do? And I have to credit Amy Lewis for asking this question originally.
Thank you, Amy. Yeah, I read that question and all I was thinking was, should I say that or should, no, I probably shouldn't go to those things. some people I dated and other sorts of activities of my youth.
Let's stick with technology.
Let's stick with technology, yeah. What would I never recommend to anyone? I used to be the guy who built stuff from scratch all the time. I used to run my own Linux email server and everything else. With the threat of security nowadays, it's almost too much. So I would never recommend to the vast majority of the listeners to go off and go run your own private server for email and so forth, because you become a full-time system admin for that and security admin for that. And a friend of mine, his wife said, don't mow the lawn, just hire someone to pay it. Just hire someone to do it. It's a pay the man situation. And for stuff like that, it's a pay the man situation. I use a well-known email provider to deal with that, because I really don't want to deal with sendmail.cf and all these other different settings and having to figure out which is best and then trying to figure out what is the best way to do junk mail response and stuff. And I just don't want to deal with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Great advice. I mean, technology has gotten so complex these days and there's so much you can do. It's kind of gotten to the point for you have to pick what you're going to spend your time on and customize and tweak.
Yeah,
you can't do it on everything.
Yeah, I mean, so for my home system, I bought a Synology NAS, and I did that, and I mainly have video and pictures and stuff like that, and you know, I take all my DVDs and convert them and run them off the NAS, and my wife can just turn on the TV, go to Apple TV, go to DS Video, click, and watch whatever she wants that's on there.
Nice.
And if it passes that level of test, then you're succeeding. The last thing you want is your wife calling you up while you're in a foreign country saying, the server's down and I can't get email and I have a deadline.
Yeah, right.
She has her own business. So I got out of that. I just... no interest anymore. I've managed systems with 600 people on them back in the old VAX cluster days, and nah, I'm done.
Great advice. And then the bonus surprise question
here we go.
Tell us about one of the most interesting meals that you've ever had with someone.
I'm guessing Ryan Johnson put you up to this one. Back in 1986, seven-ish, I was a system admin on the aforementioned VAX cluster systems, and I was at Digital, and Digital was being hacked, or people were roaming around our network quite a bit, and one of those folks was a guy named Kevin Mitnick, and Kevin is a world-famous hacker. He speaks at a lot of different conventions and so forth. And he was one of the first folks to get arrested by the FBI and put away for hacking. And there was a scenario whereby the person who was hacking into our systems recognized that we were watching them and said some things, which caused me to go run down to the data center and hit the big red button, which is one of the most satisfying things you'll ever do as an IT guy. And fast forward 25 years later, I'm at VMworld. Chris Hoff, also known as @Beaker on Twitter, he posted that he was having dinner with a very interesting security person. And I responded with, well, who is it? And he says, oh, you would really love to know. And I said, come on, who is it? And he says, join us for dinner and you'll find out. I went back to my hotel room, got dressed, went over to Caesars, met him. I said, okay, who is it? And he said, Mitnick. I said, boy, do I have a question for him. And Kevin came in and sat down. And you have to understand, if you read his book, Ghost in the Wires, in the first few pages, he references a number of people that work at Digital. They're all friends of mine. I was either their system admin or I knew them socially. One of them I still have dinner with every month. And he started asking me, oh, where did you work? And I said, oh, I used to work at Digital. Oh, Digital, that was one of my favorite places, blah, blah, blah. I said, yeah, I know. And he says, what did you do there? And I said, I was a system admin and a number of systems, you know, like the Delnivax cluster. He goes, I remember the Delnivax cluster. I said, I'm sure you do. And he said, well, I've got a question to ask you. And I told the story and I said what the hacker said to us before I ran down and hit the red button. And he went, yeah, that was me. That was definitely me. And so 25 years later, I got confirmation as to who was hacking into our systems. And since then, him and I have gone on to do a shared keynote at the Kansas City VMUG a few years ago. And that post made it to Reddit. That post made it all over the internet in days. I wrote the blog article on the flight home from VMworld that day, and it was very, very popular. So if you Google Foley Mitnick, the first hit will be A Dinner with Infamy, and that should make for an interesting conversation. It'll go into all the details much more than I can here.
Awesome. I just Googled it. I'm going to put it in the show notes, and I look forward to reading it. That's a really amazing story. So I know we're running long here on the podcast today, but it's been really great. For people who want to reach out to you and learn more about Mike Foley, what should they do?
Well, if you're into the Twitters, then you can follow me on @MikeFoley at twitter.com. If all you want is just the vSphere security stuff, you know, the curated version of my Twitter feed, because you may or may not like some of the stuff I put there, follow @vSphereSecurity on twitter.com. And yeah, my blog is yelloff.com, and I'm also on the vSphere blogs as Mike Foley.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being on today, Mike.
Thanks for having me, buddy.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the 10 on Tech podcast. For more helpful content, check out our blog at www.actualtech.io.